Amen. At this time, we'd like to ask our children to come forward for our children's moment. Come on, pastor's kids. Y'all come down. Come on. I hope not. How are y'all doing today? Let's see what we got here. All right. Well, Eston and Joe brought the bag. Oh, okay. Hold on. Hold on. What might this be? Oh, it says it on the bottom. All right. Do nothing. When you have nothing to do, just turn the handle either way, and it will take your worries and frustrations away. So this is an ancient fidget spinner? This is a, no? Oh, okay, all right. You spin it, and there you go. Well, no, we're not all going to try. It's the perks of being the pastor. I get to do everything, and y'all just watch. All right, now, today, this little thing is something you can do to kind of pass the time. How many times have you all ever been bored?
2,000,000.
A lot of times, right? And sometimes when we're bored, I told my parents once I was bored, and I never told them that again, because they put me to work, and I learned how to do a lot of chores that day. Sometimes we focus a lot of who we are on what we do, and I think sometimes we do that at the expense of who we're called to be with God. And sometimes God wants us to simply be with Him and to do nothing but listen to Him and spend time with Him, okay? Now, I'm not saying to do nothing, but I'm saying from time to time it's good to sit and to be with God. And if you've got something like this that you can focus your attentions on while you're listening to God, all the better. I'm going to play with this the rest of the day. It's kind of fun. So, all right, we're going to pray, and then Miss Joyce is going to take the kindergarten through fifth grade down for handbells, okay? So let's pray, and then you guys can go with her. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love and grace. We thank you for all that you do for us each and every day and for the opportunity we have to do things for you, Lord, but more importantly, the opportunity we have simply to be with you. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We praise you and ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Y'all can go downstairs. Our scripture lesson this morning is going to come from Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. This is most likely a very familiar passage to most of us. This is the Great Commission. Earlier this week, we had our council meeting, and earlier that day I was asked if I would do the devotion because the person that was supposed to do it couldn't be there that day. And so I said, okay, I'll do that. And so I put something together for our devotion. And then on Tuesday at 2 o'clock, I got called by a pastor of a church here in the county. They were having revival. And the person who was supposed to come and preach at that revival that night at 6:30 couldn't make it. And so they asked if I would come and do it. I said, well, sure. I'll just elaborate on what I did for our time together at our council meeting. And then that went fairly well. They didn't kick me out or anything, and I thought, well, I've really talked about this twice this week. I guess God is kind of leading me in that direction, and so we're going to talk about that this morning. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. So let us hear now God's word to us from Matthew's gospel. Jesus came near and spoke to them. I've received all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Look, I myself will be with you every day until the end of this present age. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day that you've given to us and for the opportunity we have to hear and to listen to your word. We pray that you would be with the words you have given to me. May they be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand. And may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call upon us. And we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Go and make disciples. It's a pretty common theme amongst most churches. Many of us base the things that we do on a regular basis on the Great Commission, right? Why do we gather, right? To intentionally make disciples of Jesus Christ within our church, throughout our community, and around the world. Our United Methodist Global mission statement is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And so this passage is very important to who we are as Christians, who we are as Methodists. These are Jesus' final words to his disciples. Go and make. I don't know about you, but it excites me, this idea of going, this idea of making, this idea of doing. It's exciting because you never quite know what it's going to look like, right? And there's all of these various possibilities around. How many of us like to go and do? We like to maybe start something, right? I'm not great at finishing things, but I love starting things, starting projects. We're told to go and make. However, this is not the most important thing that we are called to focus on as the church. The Great Commission is really a byproduct of something much larger. Often we emphasize the Great Commission without remembering and keeping in mind the great commandment that God gives us in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. This is where the great commandment comes from. We're familiar with it. Jesus is asked while he is teaching and preaching, what's the greatest commandment? And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that comes from Deuteronomy. And the second is like it from Leviticus, love your neighbor as yourself. I want to read for us this passage in Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 4 through 9 for us. And I want you to listen for the similarities between this great commandment and the great commission that we've just read. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your being, and all your strength. These words that I am commanding you today must always be on your minds. Recite them to your children. Talk about them when you're sitting around your house and when you are out and about, when you are lying down and when you are getting up. Tie them on your hand as a sign. They should be on your forehead as a symbol. Write them on your house's doorframe and on your city's gates. On the cover, we have the beginning of the Shema. It's in Hebrew. It's not some weird language that's made up from some fictional place like Cybertron or anything like that. That's Hebrew there. That's the Shema. For the Israelites who didn't have John 3:16 at their disposal throughout their lives, the Shema served in that function. It reminded them, continued to impress upon them who they were to be and what they were to focus their time doing. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your being, and with all of your strength. You see, love precedes going. Love precedes doing. Love precedes making. God's love initiates our love. We see that in 1 John 4:19. We love because why? God first loved us. It's a natural byproduct of God's love. as Christians, and especially Christians in our society, in our day and age, we have a horrible habit of busying ourselves with good works. You heard me correctly. We have a horrible habit of busying ourselves with good works. Now please hear that I'm not saying it is wrong to do good, but our focus always should be on loving God. I think Jesus gets at the heart of this thing that we tend to do to busy ourselves with the story of the Good Samaritan. What do the priest and the Levite do? They pass by on the other side. Do you want to know why they pass by on the other side? Because they're busy doing good work. They're on their way to church. They're on their way to go worship God, and they fail to see that this worship has a place right here in helping this person who's on the side of the road. We have a horrible habit of busying ourselves too much. Nowhere in the Bible does Jesus say, make yourself busy. Jesus promises us, actually, in Matthew 6:33, that when we seek God's kingdom first, everything will be added to us. When we are with God, when we love Him with all of our hearts and all of our being and all of our mind. Because honestly, if we don't love God, if we don't focus our time on Him, it doesn't mean we still can't do things or we still can't be busy. Making disciples can be done for just about anything. How many of you all have learned from someone else how to do something? You've been a disciple in some form or fashion. Some of us are disciples of sports teams. Whether they win or lose, we're their followers, right? So you can be a disciple, you can make a disciple about something that has nothing to do with God whatsoever, and we do it on a fairly regular basis. But to be a disciple of Jesus means that first and foremost, we love God. We are with God. We spend time with God. And you can't love God without first hearing and at many times remembering that you are a beloved child of God. Ladies and gentlemen, you can have the Great Commission without the Great Commandment. You can go, you can do, you can make without loving God. But you cannot have the Great Commandment without the Great Commission being a natural byproduct of that. You cannot love God and not be busy making disciples, and not be busy doing the work that God has actually called you to do, not just the things we feel we need to do because we're independent Americans that pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. And of course, we know that's not true. God has given us the grace to do the things that we do. The Great Commandment tells us to love God with all of our hearts, with all of our being, with all of our mind. Jesus adds soul or mind to that. And we're to do these things before our strength ever comes into play. We're to love God by being before we love God by doing. That differentiates why we gather in this place. That makes it very different. If we're focused only on the Great Commission of doing, we come to church so that God will love us, so that we can do the things God wants us to do, so that yada, yada, yada. If we're a people of the Great Commandment, we come to church as a response to God's love for us. Not to earn anything, but to give thanks for what we have received. We see the difference there. Drastically. And so we have to ask ourselves this morning, do we love God? Do we love Him with all of our hearts and all of our being? Do we go to God in prayer simply to be with God? Or are there strings attached? October is quickly approaching. Does anyone know what happens on October 31st? We got a bunch of little people that come to our door and give us ultimatums is what we've got. They dress up in their outfits. They come and they knock on our door. And what do they say? Trick or treat, right? It's an ultimatum. Give me something or else. When we come to church on Sunday morning, dressed in our best, and we come to God, are we here to be with God, or do we have an ultimatum? God, do this for me, or else. I'm not dressed like I feel this morning. I feel like sweatpants and a hoodie, maybe some slippers, right? I've put on this because I want to make sure everyone knows that I'm here. I want to make sure everyone sees me, right? I want to make sure that I'm not getting in trouble for things that I ought not to do. And when we come to this place, do we come broken as we are, or do we come hiding the things that trouble us and bother us? This is a place of vulnerability. This is a place where we come together with our brothers and sisters in Christ, not to show how we've got it together, but to remind ourselves that we have nothing figured out. And we want to be with God because God loves us and because we are His children. The Great Commission, making disciples, is the natural outflow of the focus we have on the Great Commandment always. If we spend time loving God, if we spend time simply being with God, taking these little trinkets and things that we have and just being, what would it look like to just be, right? And we're not raised that way, right? We're not raised to just sit there and do nothing and twiddle our thumbs. I can't tell you how many times my dad told me to go do something, right? And I'm sure I'm not the only one here. The hardest thing I do every week is on Friday I don't go to work. I stay home and I have Sabbath. The hardest thing I do is I try to just be with God. It's the hardest day of Abby's week, probably, too. It's the day that I remind myself that this church has been here long before I got here. It will be here long after I'm here. I am not Jesus. I am simply trying to do the work that He's called me to do. But before I can do that, I have to be with Him. I have to know who He is and who He's calling me to be. So where do we get our energies from? Where do we get our passion and our drive for the things that we do? Is all of our time and energy spent on doing, or do we spend it on being? If we spend all of our time in doing, we're going to burn out. We're going to overextend ourselves. And we will fail to be the person that God has created us to be. Because our primary job, first and foremost, is to worship God, to be with God. We will run out if we're focused on doing because we are not enough to fill ourselves. If our focus is on being, then you will experience God on a daily basis. You won't be able to help but see God in the midst of all of those things. And when you see Him, you will be filled. When you see the things He does, you will be reminded of His love for you, and you will then want to share that love with others, and you will truly then become who God created you to be. And then we'll have the proper motivation and the proper power to do what we're called to do, and to more importantly be who we are called to be, because we cannot do what God calls us to do without being who God calls us to be. And so I leave us this morning with this question. Who is God? Who does God want you to be? You may know the answer. That's good. Spend time thanking God for that answer. You may not know the answer, and that's fine as well. Spend time with Him, learning about who you are and who He wants you to be. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love and your grace. We thank you for this great commission that reminds us that we don't gather simply for ourselves, but to make disciples of Jesus Christ. Lord, may we remember in the midst of the doing we feel called to do, that we would first check and see if it is who you want us to be. May we spend time loving you with all of our hearts, with all of our being, and with all of our mind and soul, so that our strength will be spent truly in your work, and not in just good things that tend to tire us out and frustrate us. God, we love you. We thank you, we praise you, and ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.